Good afternoon, everypony. I am Hawk Johansson. Welcome to Friendship is Madness. We have another special episode for you guys today. I'm going to skip the usual formalities of our normal cast and go ahead and introduce our guest. Please welcome Nicole Oliver, the voice actress for Princess Celestia.
Yay!
Hello, I am Princess Celestia, and this is Friendship is Madness.
Oh my god.
Nice.
How are you all today? Sorry, Princess Celestia sounds like she's got a bit of a cold.
That's okay.
All
That's
night. Okay. It's just kind of what happens sometimes.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Cold. A voice actor's worst nightmare.
Mm.
Anyway, welcome to Friendship is Madness, awesome. Nicole. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
Oh no, she fell down on my shaft.
Who's going to... Well, I guess I'll ask the first question. Every special guest we've had on the show has had to deal with the same question from me.
Okay.
If you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be?
What?
I would be a lilac tree.
Nice.
That tree sounds pretty.
It does sound pretty.
And they smell good, too.
Hmm.
All right.
All right. And now on to the more serious question.
That was kind of the right of way.
Yeah. You have been properly accepted into our group.
Fantastic.
Welcome to the herd.
Right. So the first question actually is from Aaron.
Huh? Yeah. Hi. My first question was, what inspired you to become a voice actor?
Oh, my. It's always been something I've just done from the beginning when I started my career many years ago. Someone said, hey, you've got a nice voice. Would you like to give it a try? And I did, and I booked I was working on camera, and I still do, and I booked my first gig, and then it kind of kept going from there. But I love... voice acting, especially up in Canada, and especially with cartoons, there's not a lot of opportunity for comedy as there is maybe in the States, right? And so the cartoons are a really great vehicle for you to get your comedic chops up. And they're fun. And it doesn't matter what you look like, right, when you do a cartoon. So it's actually, I think, the one part of the industry that's really based on talent as opposed to all the other.
The one that you're referring to is... Galaxy Express 999, or was it one before that?
Well, I do a lot of voiceover work for advertising and such. So my very, very first gig was for Vaseline way, way back when. But yes, it was very exciting. And hold the jokes. And then my
don't worry, we will.
Probably my first cartoon gig. I did a bunch of anime, but. On camera, the relay, like My Little Pony, was a RoboCop.
What? Sorry.
Do you remember RoboCop?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite films.
Yeah, so that was my first reel in Vancouver, anyway. And then I think in Toronto, my first cartoon there I did was Silver Surfer. So that was kind of
fun. Oh, nice.
Yeah, so. I don't know, cartooning is great. It's. I mean, the art behind it is beautiful, but from my perspective, I can play little boys, I can play animals, I can do, you know, older women, or you can use accents. There's a lot of creative freedom for an actor in that genre.
I don't want to interrupt anyone, but I was curious, who did you play in Silver Surfer?
Oh, my word. It was a very long time ago, darling. I did a couple of episodes of random characters, but that was kind of my first dabble taste into, you know, how you actually did a cartoon. You're standing in a room with a bunch of other actors, and you're all Gamma. Thank you, Flatline.
the internet ghost has IMDb up and running.
There
Don't
you
worry
go.
If you can't remember, I got it covered.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you know, some of these cartoon things, if you're on a series, it could go for years and years and years. Like, you know, My Little Pony, we just started recording our third season, so that's exciting. Okay. But, you know, and sometimes you record a couple episodes and it disappears, never to be seen again. So, yeah.
Very common in the anime field.
Mm-hmm.
I've always it's just not enough of them. Just not enough to take off.
I think my favorite anime one I did was Key the Metal Idol. That was probably from the anime perspective, because you guys probably know this more than me, but the art is so different, right? Depending on how where it comes from, and I thought the art was really beautiful in that show. Actually,
you actually played Key.
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
That one I remember. There was a lot of episodes. I remember that one.
go ahead, Pio. All
right. So, how did you get the job to voice as Celestia?
Were you invited or auditioned? Yeah, I was invited to audition. I think most of us at a certain point, you get invited to audition for things. And I was invited to audition for... We all were to read for almost any of the ponies we wanted at the beginning, because I think they had sort of an idea of what they were looking for, but you never really know till you hear it. So I ended up reading for almost all the ponies. I also voiced Cheerilee.
Oh,
yeah.
You voiced Cheerilee as well.
I do. The teacher
nice.
Is. Yeah.
Oh my god! I didn't know that.
I think I can hear it though, in some way.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, she's up. Yeah, Cheerilee is higher. She's much higher and much more annoying when you have a cold. she's lovely and she cares about her girls very much. So I just went and auditioned and then kind of went on and did other things and then got a phone call and saying they'd like you to do that, and I was like, great, and here we are. So. Kind of sometimes with these things you jump through a lot of hoops, and other times they kind of appear magically in front of you, and this wasn't too much of a mountain climb to get the gig, but it was great. It is great. It's really fun.
All right,
cool.
I believe Daisy's next.
Would you like to
if Daisy's still here?
Okay. I'm not sure which one I'm asking. No one's giving me the question.
Right, how about I'll just specify it easily. Throughout the show, Celestia is, the almighty princess. But, do you sometimes think that she intentionally, pulls, not really pranks, but, fools around with the main six? When she had Philomena, or when she only sent Twilight 2 tickets to the gala?
I think... that's more from a writer perspective. I think, she is the ruler, and I think all of her actions are very thought out in order to help Twilight or whomever learn something about themselves. And so whether it's to learn how to share or to be a better friend or to problem solve, I don't really think anything is arbitrary, in terms of her actions.
Yeah.
I know when I do voice her, I'm always trying to put a little bit more humanity in there, than just kind of that kind of princessy quality. I always try and put a little bit of, I know they're ponies, but, that kind of realism that she's a sentient being. She does feel, not all these decisions that she does are so easy to do, if that makes sense. So that's what I'm trying to do, just kind of give her a little bit more dimension than just her being this kind of all-powerful, you go there, you sit there, you sit there. But I do think from how she's written, and certainly from the scripts, there's nothing, everything has meaning. There's nothing that's just...
Just because.
Yeah, she is pretty methodical, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, she's also nice about it.
Yeah.
Well, it's all about mentoring, right? That's a big thing about the show, is about mentoring and helping others. And if you're skilled in a certain area, then sharing that with someone else, right?
Right.
Very true.
Who's next?
I'll go ahead and ask. Out of the main cast, which of the ponies is your favorite?
Yeah.
<All right. laughs> Oh, not fair. Which of the ponies is my favorite?
Yep.
Would you like to say, like, Spike instead?
Well, I mean, we have a really talented cast. Like, the people who do the voicing, it are very, very talented. A couple of them, you know, voice two of the ponies, right? So, Ashley Ball voices Applejack and Rainbow Dash. And
kidding.
Yeah, and then Pinkie Pie and Fluttershy are performed by the same actress as well, so... I think my favorite is Rarity. I just think she's hysterical.
Yay!
I mean, just from Nicole's perspective, and the actress who voices her is a giggle and a half, so it's a lot of fun to watch.
A giggle and a half?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to watch. So, from that, but... Oh... I don't know. I mean, they're all so cute in their own way, you know. Applejack with her accent, and I quite like Fluttershy too. She's funny. She's so quiet.
She is
so quiet. There's a couple of scripts where she does get a little louder, and that's kind of funny. It's scary. Scary funny when she gets louder, right? So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we did have one of these other questions scheduled for later, but I guess since we're on the subject, I can ask it now. Like, how does it feel or sound when you're in, you know, the big voice acting room, and these voice actors are going from, like, you know, cute little Fluttershy voice or like Pinky voice to, like, you know, scary or, like, you know, the drastic change in pitch or character?
Well, you know, I mean, I feel very lucky to do what I do for a living. I don't take it for granted for a second. And when you're standing in that room surrounded by all that lovely talent, it's exactly probably what you think it would be. It is magical. It's so much fun. There's times often where I can't believe I actually get paid to do what I do for a living. So I feel very, very blessed. It's great fun. And you know, I know a lot of these other actresses. I've worked with them for over, some cases, over 10 years on other, you know, on different projects. And I'm just always amazed at the stuff that they pull out, you know?
Yeah.
Just when you think you're pretty sure you know what they're going to do with something, and they do something completely different. So it's a blast. It's a workout. There's sometimes you're just standing there sweating because you're working so hard. and then other times, you know, you just sit around and glance at a magazine while you're not, it's not your turn, or, you know, if it's, you're really involved in the script off and you're just sitting there watching everyone and enjoying it. So it's great fun. It's like play.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Right. So next question.
Nicole, I am a bit of an aspiring voice actress. And yes, I'm an aspiring voice actress.
La 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 la.
Voice actor.
You'd have to be pretty good, yeah.
Oh boy.
I was wondering.
Could be a professional grandma.
Do you have any tips for someone who's trying to get into the field?
Well, yeah, don't quit your day job ever.
Yeah.
First, not you, but anybody who wants to do this. It's tough, you know. I think a lot. Right now, with all our reality TV shows and kind of quick fix kind of attitude, I think people think that this is what it should be. This is easy, and this is what they want to do, you know, do for a living. And it's not always big bucks, and it's certainly not easy. And it's really tough to make and I've been doing this for 21 years. It's all I've done. So I feel very lucky for that. But, I act on camera as well, and you have to diversify to survive. It's one of my strongest beliefs. But I think, you know, watch a lot of cartoons, know what's going on out there, know what's in the marketplace, record your voice, listen to your voice, read out loud. There's so many people that say they want to do this, but then they can't pronounce or enunciate words. And, you know, so I've told people, you know, read the paper every day out loud, get used to how your voice sounds, really understand your voice. And if you look at it kind of as a musical instrument, then you can start playing around with it and figuring out your range and what you can do, and practice, practice, practice.
Like a tool to be used almost.
Yeah.
When I was young, I used to do kind of voice acting as a hobby, and I used to record myself
you know, over muted voices, but it's quite tough when you live in Britain and not in, you know, in America where all the voice acting usually happens. I used to really be a huge aspiring voice actress myself.
There's more, like in Los Angeles and certainly in Toronto and Vancouver in Canada where I am. You know, most voice actors also do on camera. Maybe over, you know, over time you may become just a voice actor. There are some people here who just do voice acting. They really don't have an interest to go on camera. But it's kind of all part of the big picture, right? So especially when you're starting out, I don't know if you can just limit yourself to that, because part of it also is getting known, right? People knowing you.
Yeah.
So it's kind of all of the above, but I think practicing is great, and you know, if you can do a cool voice, that's really great, but you also need to be able to do that cool voice for a 22-minute cartoon, how many episodes, right? So that's why practice is really important.
Yeah,
I remember being in a public speaking class, and we were working with accents. I couldn't hold an accent to save my life.
I was in a college play for Dracula at one point, and doing that cheesy Transylvanian accent for like an hour was so hard.
That was like hilarious.
Yeah, I had to talk like this in a very, very creepy tone, with all sorts of gesturing, making sure you can understand what I am saying.
For some reason, when I hear you say that, I keep thinking of Count Chocula.
On Sesame Street, it's your count that votes.
Thanks to Disney movies, I managed to pretty much master a typical Disney American accent. So when I can, and I managed to do that pretty well for a while. Thanks to Disney.
Aaron?
Yeah?
You had a question?
Oh, yeah, my question. It sounds almost like sort of an obvious kind of question, but it's how do you picture Celestia when you're voice acting? Do you picture how she would be, like what she would be doing at the time, as in her actions, her pose, etc., or do you just go with what you think?
Well, you know, when we're recording it, I'm standing in front of a music stand with a script, and I have the microphone, and then in a kind of a horseshoe shape where all the other actors is standing in front of their own script, and so I've got a bit of room to move, but I can't move too much because the microphone will pick up all that sound, right?
Yeah.
So I definitely standing. I think I stand taller when I voice her. And my posture is really good when I voice her. I'm sure of it. And, yeah, I usually, my hands usually tend to gesture quite flowy a lot. But I try to, you know, envision what the scene is, who I'm talking to. You know, when you do voice acting, it's just like for me on camera acting, there's intention, there's what do you want out of the scene, what do you want from the other person, and the other person's right there in the room with you. You just can't really move too much as you can on camera because that will interfere with the quality of the recorded voice, right?
So it's like you have to imagine that it's in a and that the situation you're in is real, and you have to like really think that that's what's happening. Get into
I'd say I have my own little movie going on in my brain as I'm doing it. And then we have a director we work with, and then you know, the room's full of people who've written the script and everything, and so they'll add their little bits and tweak things as you go. And definitely standing, and I'm very tall when I voice Princess Liz.
Nice.
She is the tallest pony or alicorn, as people have described her.
She towers over all of them.
Both figuratively and literally.
Yeah, for all the other voice actors.
And then her house.
Yeah.
But, all right. Yeah, who is next?
I've actually got another interesting question, which I usually think of when I think of voice actors. Like, is your voice ever recognized outside of like the studio, or do you ever like have fun and like use it, you know, when you're around with your friends or something, like?
Well, I probably slip into accents all the time and stuff. If I'm hanging out with a lot of voice actors, then we all try and out-voice each other.
That's interesting.
It just kind of happens. Well, I have two little boys. I have two little boys, so I, you know, story time is kind of fun. Although, yeah, and my older son, who's 8, is actually getting into cartoons. So, you know, it's kind of use it around the house. I think sometimes they're like, "Mom, use your real voice," but other than that, I don't know if I get recognized. I get a lot of. Because I do a lot of on camera as well, so I have people kind of looking at me and ask me if we've gone to school together. And then sometimes some people will, you know, will comment. They have a nice voice, and you know, but it's such a most people who I do hang out with know what I do for a living, so it's really not, you know, something that's a surprise, I guess.
Yeah.
That answers your question. I don't know if I answered your question.
Yeah, that's a really interesting answer.
Whoa,
okay. Echo.
All right, so I think Flatline's next, right?
Yeah. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. Something I've actually been wondering, because I really do like the soundtrack to the series, is Celestia ever going to lend her voice to a song? Because she hasn't, to my knowledge, sang during the course of the series.
Yeah, right.
It's a good question. I've spoken to our composer, Daniel, about that, and he'd like to get Celestia singing. I wouldn't be adverse to it, but I think it'd have to be the right thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, fears of Mary Poppins kind of pop.
Hey, how can you be afraid of Mary Poppins?
You know, if they wanted to do something like that, sure, I wouldn't be adverse to it. I think, in a way, because all the other ponies sing, by her not singing, it also helps to keep her different, right?
Keeps her mysterious.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
She might, like, everyone might start singing around her, and she just busts out with this, like, deep, like, Barry Manilow.
Hello.
Smoky singing voice.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, I never saw that coming.
All right.
There's
so,
lots of music though. Lot more songs I think coming up. So
brilliant.
Can't wait for the techno remixes.
Okay, so I think I'm next. Miss Oliver, have you ever been approached outside of the studio by maybe a fan or anything?
From My Little Pony?
Well, I guess, yeah, specifically, but what about from your animes, too?
I've done a couple of conventions, so then, yes, of course, it's an atmosphere where there's a lot more of that. I've been approached in the street more for my on-camera work than necessarily my voice work, right? But
you can see that happening.
Yeah.
Which, you've done some pretty prolific shows.
I'm still working. They're still hiring me, so there you go. You know, like I said, it's.
You've got Outer Limits and Psych and all sorts of cool stuff.
I've just finished 3 movies in a row. Actually, it's been a really busy summer for me. So, working with some really great people, so I'm quite excited about. So, yeah. So be around. I did something for Lifetime. I did something for TNT, and I just finished a direct-to-video movie. So good.
Are you allowed to? Oh, sorry.
Pardon?
Nicole.
Are you allowed to tell us what movies those were?
Sure. Yeah, I can. So I did a movie for Lifetime called "Mommy's Little Girl," which I think they're changing the title because of a reason or not, with Rebecca Romijn. So I played her best friend. And it's coming out Halloween, actually, so it should be on air in a couple weeks. And it's a ghost story. And then I just did Innocent for TNT with Bill Pullman and Alfred Molina. Should be hard. That's a sequel to Presumed Innocent, which was a movie around in the 80s with Harrison Ford. It's a Scott Turow. That was exciting. Played a really assy reporter. She was fun. And then I just finished a movie called The Woodcarver with John Ratzenberger, who was Cliff on Cheers.
Who was what? I'm sorry?
He played Cliff on Cheers.
Oh, alright.
Yeah, and that's a family movie, and that'll be out in the spring, so.
Oh, I know who that is.
Well, let's fit your old flatline.
Oh. Oh, boy.
Nicole, right, I have a question.
Sure.
Have you ever sent a script back in because you didn't think Celestia would say something? Or actually in anything you worked on?
That's a good question.
Well, you know, we get the script a couple of days before we record, and we can take a look at it. For the most part, no. I mean, there's some times where it says everybody, so I'll say we should say every pony. You know, there's a couple of words maybe where it's not real enough. For the most part, no. The scripts are bang on for this. They know who they're writing for.
Yeah,
in other things, yeah, absolutely all the time. More so on camera than animation. You know, you read through something, if it just doesn't feel like it would come from your mouth, then, yeah, you usually work with the director on the day and try and tweak it. So, yeah. It's in animation, there's so many people that script has gone through before it gets to me. They've pretty much got it covered, and they're all over. So it definitely sounds like, yeah.
So, Aaron, you'd like to ask the next one?
Yeah, I was going to say, have you ever actually met or had any interaction with Lauren Faust herself, like, because she was obviously the supervising director of season one, so, you know.
Have I had any interaction with whom, sorry?
Lauren Faust, you know, the actual...
Creator.
Yeah.
The creator.
No, I mean, they're on the phone from Los Angeles listening to us record in Vancouver. So, for the most part, I work with there's a voice director named Terry Klassen, and he directs us, and the people from LA, they're on the phone listening in, and yeah, so it's very, you know, we're recording it here in Vancouver, and there's the company up here, and then there's also Hasbro and everybody down the state, so.
So no pressure.
It's a big bunch of people, but you know, I only see a handful of everybody involved on any given day.
All right, who's next?
I actually got a question. You mentioned you work with a lot of voice actors and a lot of people who, I mean, are you, like, a fan of any voice actors or any other series, like a really big fan?
Am I really big fan? I mean, I appreciate, I love Family Guy.
Lisa loves Family Guy, actually.
I do.
It's
my favorite show besides Ponies.
I think my, you know, I still love Bugs Bunny and Tweety Show and all those classics. And I like the classic cartoons. I mean, the new ones are great, but I really love the old shows. And, and it's, I don't know, it just, I love, my kids love to watch Bugs Bunny and Tweety and Flintstones and that, and I think that's really great. I mean, am I a fan of anyone? I just worked with John Ratzenberger, and he's done every Pixar movie ever made.
Oh.
He's the pig in Toy Story.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's great. And I had some great conversations kind of talking about that side of business and what it means.
Yeah. Doesn't he do a lot of Pixar voices, though?
He's done every movie. He's friends with the guys for the company. So, I mean, he really doesn't have to work ever again, quite frankly. But, yeah, he loves. Someone was trying to steal a car near your house?
What?
Seriously, Flatline?
That's what it sounded like with the blaring car alarm. That's why I had to go close my windows.
That's a little
off topic.
Right. Sorry.
I just saw that and I went, what?
I didn't know if you guys could hear the car alarm or not.
I couldn't hear it.
My bad.
Oh, yeah, I'm curious. What's your favorite My Little Pony episode so far?
Favorite episode? Oh, wow.
Well, the one that's in season one.
Season one, yeah.
Can we edit that out? Hawk, is it possible?
Oh, man, you guys.
Fine, just keep rolling.
Giving me more work to do after
we,
all
we can edit that after it's done.
Yeah.
Okay, my favorite episode to date. There's so many that I'm not in every episode, right? So
yeah.
I always like the ones at the beginning. Like, I like the two-parters. Those are kind of interesting.
Yeah.
More serious stuff.
Have you seen any of season two?
We've seen three episodes.
Okay, so that was...
The two with Discord and the one where Twilight went completely insane.
Yeah. I like the ones with Discord. That was cool.
That must have been so cool, talking to Q. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Celestia was great in that episode. I loved Celestia in that episode. She was all epic.
Yeah, it was lots of talking as an actor. When you get those scripts and you start flipping, you're like, and I'm still talking, and I'm still talking, and I'm still talking.
Oh, man.
I have one.
Sweat makes.
The script goes on forever.
So do you have any favorite episodes then, or do you just love them all?
I enjoyed the beginning of season two, the first two episodes. Those were fun because they were so big.
Yeah.
They're just all really sweet shows. And I mean, I have boys, so I have a niece who's 6 months, so she's a little early to watch some of this. My boys, right. I've tried to show it to them, and they're into guns and stuff. They're 6 and 8.
Yeah.
They want to do.
Give it time. Give it time.
They'll get into it eventually.
Unfortunately, they never really leave that face.
They're too young to be bronies, maybe, but to understand it all. But, so, you know, I don't necessarily sit down and watch them all. But overall, I think it's a beautiful show. I think it looks really pretty. And I like the messaging. And that's really important, you know. I think it's really important. So.
All right, so I actually have one question.
one.
What are your thoughts,
calm down.
Anyway. If you have any actual information on this, don't tell us, and don't tell it to us yet, because we don't know it. But do you have any like theories? I don't know about Equestria before the princess sisters took over. Like, I mean, like the elements were found. I don't know if you'd know this, but like. The elements were found by Celestia and Luna and everything. They weren't created.
I can't answer any of that because that's all stuff that's coming. I can't answer any of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
If you didn't have any information yourself, would you have guessed? Okay, fine.
So I guess the thing to say is that as the seasons progress, I think as fans, you will get more information about what our land looks like, what happened to get us there, what other things we fight against, and all the rest of it. Yeah.
Very nice. Right.
That's awesome.
That sounds awesome.
Cool. Mm-hmm. More stuff for the bestiary.
Right.
Yeah, more stuff for your game, Flatline.
Yay.
Any pony else?
I actually have one.
Yeah.
I've got a couple left.
Oh, dear.
Are there any people that you've worked with on the show, and I guess also in the past, that you were really excited to act alongside, that you were like, oh, you saw the casting list, and you're like, oh, sweet, I get to work with this person?
On this show in particular, you mean? Every week, I love the cast. The cast, as I said before, they're so talented, and it doesn't feel like work. It's a real joy. So that's pretty much my attitude almost every day I work on something. Like, I really have a great job, and I really do appreciate it. I don't take it for granted at all.
Yeah.
You know, that said, I have, met Charles Keston. I've worked not on this show, but on other shows. Yeah.
Spoilers when Heston comes on.
Yeah, Heston's not in the show. No. Kelsey Grammer on another project we did. That was great. you know, I've worked with a lot of really cool people, so I've not really starstruck lately, but you know, I think I'd probably freak out more over musicians and stuff than actors.
All right. Well, okay, I'm going to ask this. One of our other members, who's normally a regular on here, named Stryker, he had a fairly ridiculous question.
It's a figurative question.
Yeah. Okay.
Of course he does.
Yeah. Have you sent anyone to the moon recently?
Besides...
Why would you ask that?
Oh, yeah, well, I probably... Yeah.
We could reword it and ask, is there anybody you'd like to send to the moon?
Oh, come on now.
Given the power.
Yes, my children sometimes. My children.
You let kids keep your mom happy.
Oh. Into the moon!
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Luna was evil. She had a good reason.
She was just angry. She wasn't thinking straight. That's my explanation. I'm sticking with it.
No, Luna was corrupted, so Celestia had to send her away before she caused any trouble.
She wasn't corrupted. She was angry.
Guys, come on. You can discuss this later.
All right. Moving on.
Celestia. I defend Celestia.
All right. Flatline, you had another silly question to ask?
I do. And I'm dying to ask this question. I gotta know. Like when I found out about you working on this one project,
mm-hmm.
I almost exploded, and then exploded again because I can do that.
Okay.
So, you did some voice acting for Warhammer 40K: Dawn of War, yeah. Dark Crusade.
Yes.
You were one of the Eldar.
I was the boss here. Yes.
Yes, and that's okay. We still love you. Do you have a favorite faction in Warhammer 40K, or did you just not get into the lore as much?
I didn't get into the lore as much. My character, I mean, I loved her voice. It was the, you know, kind of the Cate Blanchett English kind of old pronouncing, you know, it's the end of the world and the world is this and that and you're all dying, and I loved doing it. I really didn't get into it very much at all. I'm not a big gamer. But what did surprise me about that project was, I guess they killed my character off in some gruesome manner. And there was a bunch of fans got together and wrote a letter petitioning to the company how they killed him off and how it was a slight against women. It was amazing. I was amazed at how something I had done, you know, over 2 or 3 days. It's very flattering and humbling how it impacts people. It's, you know.
Well, there are always
amazing.
That is kind of surprising though that fans of that particular game would be unnerved by a gruesome death.
I think it was really violence against women.
Well, as with any fandom, you're going to find fans out there who just absolutely love the series and will do stuff like that.
And it's amazing. It really is amazing, and it's humbling. So.
I can't imagine a parallel to that that could be happening these days. It's so weird.
Anybody else have any questions? Because I'm out.
Well, I think I might have one more.
I actually got one last one.
Okay, you go ahead first then.
I don't know how much you watch the show, so I mean you can pretty much say, you know, whatever you want about this. I've been listening to the foreign dubs.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard Celestia's voice in the foreign dubs? And if you have, what do you think of how they portray what is ostensibly your character?
Oh no, I haven't. And you know, I do dub some stuff into English from other countries, so. As well, sometimes. So, I haven't heard it. I would hope that it sounds somewhat tonally similar, but you know, when they hire, how do I say? It's not necessarily about times with dubbing about the quality of the performance. Sometimes that is just about having to fulfill that and get it out the door. Do you know what I mean? It's not necessarily.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So right. I no, but I have been in other countries and I've seen myself dubbed, and it's usually a good giggle. You know, like you're putting TV on. I was in Dominican Republic, and it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and I flipped the television on, and there was a movie I'd done, and I was speaking beautiful Spanish. good. I can't speak it.
And you're like, oh, ha ha, ta-da, I can speak Spanish now.
Yeah, it was very, kind of fun to see that, but yeah, no, I haven't seen any of the dubs from My Little Pony. So
actually, how does it sound when you're watching like something that you voice act because everybody's got that thing where the sound of their voice being played back to them sounds weird. Like, are you used to that?
Yeah.
Like,
my voice, I'm past that, so yeah, it doesn't sound weird.
So you have to do that when you're a voice actor.
You gotta get used to the sound of your voice real quick. Yes. When I hear myself dub somebody else, yeah, it's like I said, it's a giggle. You laugh because it is an out of body experience, literally. So.
Yeah.
That's cool.
All right. Pio, you had your last question?
Right. Is there any piece of work, maybe, that you're the most proud of?
Oh, wow. Piece of work that I'm the most proud of.
Well, maybe within Pony, then.
Well, you know, I think the long short answer of it all is I am I'm most proud of the fact that I've been doing this for 21 years, and
yeah.
And that mm-hmm. I'm able to keep doing it, and that people you know, allow me opportunities to pursue my dream. Really, this is all I've wanted to do since I was a kid, is be an actor. So I'm most proud of all of that, and every job I get, I always put my all into it and try and make it special, because although some of this stuff disappears, it's all out there, right? So I want to make sure that anything I have my name on, I can be proud of.
It's all collected on the internet.
All right, so I think that's everything.
Yeah, yep. I think everybody has.
I have no more questions.
There. Actually, do you?
One thing though, I'm just gonna type it.
No, Pio, hold on. She mentioned when she came in that she also has questions for us, and we have not addressed any of those.
Oh, that's right.
I'm okay. I actually, it's starting. Right. I've got to be somewhere in about 9 minutes.
Oh, okay. All right.
No,
so, Pio,
yeah.
Resume.
Okay, yeah. Just look at the typing real quick.
Well, you can always get back in contact with any of us and ask if you want. So,
I don't think anyone will object.
We are going to close this out. We're gonna finish up this call. Thank you very much for joining us, Nicole. It was an honor.
Oh, it was
wonderful.
Simply amazing.
Yeah, it's just, you know, we never thought that.
We never thought we'd get this lucky.
Yeah.
It was great talking to you. It really was.
Lovely. I really appreciate your how much you love the show and all the time and all your creativity you put into it. It's quite amazing, and I wish you all the best. So thanks so much for your time.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you so much.
Have a pony-filled day.
You too.
Okay, everyone. Bye-bye. Cheers.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Take care.
All right, and that will be all for Friendship is Madness. Catch you next time, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.